News Talk Tonight with Mark Toohey on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hi, welcome back. This is the time of the program when we like to bring you a rundown of the day's headlines and major stories that you might have missed earlier in the day, helping us piece them together. My guests joining us right now, Mike Kaycook is co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor, and Tom McConnell is the host and assistant program director, News Talk 610 CKTB Niagara. Gentlemen, welcome both.
Good evening. Good evening from beautiful Windsor to Tom, Mark, to everybody, producer Ben, good evening.
What kind of intro is that?
I don't know. I don't.
That is fantastic.
I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. What do you guys want?
Don't you nap?
What I want to clarify from the beginning, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, both of you whined inconsolably that I only had one segment for you. You wanted to go two segments. We then thought, let's try two segments.
Last
week, Tom McConnell, we had two segments for you, although somebody apparently forgot to mention it to you. So you disappeared in the middle of the segment. So
you have to tell us it's a two-segment thing.
This is a two-segment thing.
I assume then my pay gets doubled.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There is no doubt about that.
Two times zero is
Tom
zero.
There you go. Houdini McConnell for nothing.
Speaking
Hold
of
on a second.
Doubling
Where
in
did
pay.
K-Cook go? He wasn't there.
That one, I wasn't pointing just at one of you. I was pointing directly at two of you.
I wasn't informed.
There you go.
Before we get into the topics of the day, can I bring up the Blue Jay celebration you were talking about a few minutes ago?
No, we've all agreed that I'm right and that Ben Harrison is wrong.
You are right. The baseball celebrations are outrageous. I think I love baseball. It's my favorite sport by far. And to see these teams celebrate every single clinching victory, whether it's for the division, the wild card, the playoff, whatever it is, then they, celebrate after winning the first round, then the second round, then when they go to the World Series.
This isn't even the first round. This is not officially losing yet.
I know. It's like all these celebrations, though, that take place, like they are wasting a lot of champagne on this, and I'm with you. Unless you win it all.
I hope they're clearing up after themselves. Because I wouldn't want to have to clean up that locker room 17 times and still have them lose the championship.
Well,
anyway.
One celebration. If you win it all, you get one then. Done.
I'm with you. Tom McConnell, we learned that the QP section, it's the part of the Canadian Union of Public Employees, their Ontario School Board Council, they represent school education workers, so custodians, early childhood educators, school administration staff, etc. They voted overwhelmingly, 96.5%, and 80% of them showed up to vote. They voted in favor of a strike mandate, but Laura Walton, their president, says, we don't really want to go out on a strike.
We do not want to strike. No one wants to strike, especially not the lowest paid education workers in Ontario. We don't want to be forced to stop doing the work we love. We don't want to go without pay just to get a good deal for students, parents, and each other. But education workers have said very clearly, if this government will not budge, we are willing to strike for a contract that is good for students, for families, and for workers.
So just to be clear, because we spoke with her on this program about a week and a half ago. These are the lowest paid workers in education, as she says. They work 9 months a year. They make $39,000 a year. Annualized, that's about $50,000 a year if they were going to work 12 months a year. They get $20 an hour, the lowest paid workers. They want a raise of $3.25 per hour for everybody for 3 years. So that's $9.75 an hour. It's basically a 50% raise. That's not my issue. My issue, Tom McConnell, is does it make sense for every job in the public sector, including these ones, to have to be a career? Does someone have to have a reasonable expectation if they start as a janitor in a school, they can retire 30 years from now with a pension and be on the sunshine list? Or are some jobs just jobs? You do them for a while. When you have kids, you need to make more money. You get a different job.
That's an interesting question. However, does it matter? Like, not every job is a career, but does it matter? Some jobs, we all, put put pride in the work you're doing that day. Whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. I mean, before I was in radio, I was a landscaper, and I learned a lot of huge lessons doing manual labor landscaping. Was that my career? No, but for my boss, it was. That was his career. Now, he owned the company. But does it matter if it's a career or not? I'm not really sure, Mark. Like, it's a job. You should be paid fairly. The government has held their wages back for first 4 years under Kathleen Wynne, then 4 years under Doug Ford. At least I got a slight raise under Ford versus Wynne. But they have been, right, had a bite taken out of their paycheck every year. They're facing 7% inflation with a 1.25% raise. I can see why they would like their members, including some of their lower paid members, to get a raise that they haven't seen in a long, long time. I'm not sure if the career part factors into it.
Mike, 50% raise. I mean, if you want to make that kind of more money, get a
good luck
job.
On 50%, though.
Yeah, good luck at that 11.7 annual raise. I wouldn't mind that one. Is anybody listening right now? Could I contact Bell Media headquarters and ask for that? I think I'll be hung up on, and I think most people would be hung up on if they asked for 11.7% raise annually over the next 3 years, whatever it might be. And I don't think the salaries are that bad, because I think these are jobs. I don't know if it's a career. Some people might consider it a career, but $39,000 for you know, I'll give you even 10 months of work, you know, is about $47,000, right? When you do the math and stuff like that. I looked up the average janitor in Ontario makes $16.58 an hour. That's about $32,000. So it's like the same job, but just because in the education system, the public sector, should they make way more than the other guy out there doing the same thing?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I'll ask the listeners about that a little bit later. A lot of tech companies that were heralding the coming of a new evolutionary quantum leap in working from home, they're opening new offices now that the pandemic is open. Does this tell us, Tom McConnell, pardon me, that you know, the office and collaborating face-to-face still plays a big role in a lot of industries?
Yeah, absolutely. Although I love the portmanteau of Kay Cook and McConnell together there. That sounded fantastic.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we see it in our business. I don't know what, Mike, your situation is down in Windsor, but there is a slightly different dynamic going into the office, right? Like, I can do the job. Here I am doing this from my basement.
And you probably did it for a while, right, during COVID. So
we did it too. for a while from the basement, but the dynamic is slightly different. And that's, it's a different industry. The dynamic is slightly different with my producer. It's different with my news person. And so when you're in the building and when you're in that, you know, the collaborative, it's those, I hate to use the term water cooler, but it's those informal talks that happen when you're in the hallway or an idea comes up and you're like, hey, I was just thinking about that. What if we do this? I think tech companies are realizing we don't all sit in our basement and are going to be 100% all the time. Those informal talks, that little hallway chatter, there is value to it in being together.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, especially in a creative industry, like you're talking about radio or media, social media, whatever it might be, you know, ideas do form out of face-to-face conversation. Can we just stop with the small talk, though? I don't care how your kids are. I don't care what you did on the weekend. Can we get down to business and just talk about, you know, what we're doing here to make money and all stay employed and enough with the small talk? If we can get rid of the small talk in meetings, I'd be a lot happier.
So when you asked me how my weekend went, you were completely insincere at the beginning of this.
That was just a way to get
all right, all right. You looked insincere, but I just wanted to confirm it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. Mike K. Cook and Tom McConnell are going to stick around
We'll get to the meat and potatoes of this.
There you go. And when we come back, what happens if a prime minister jumps off a bridge on the weekend to distract us from God knows what, and nobody anywhere even noticed? That is the story that we will start with when we return. You're listening to Mark Tuohy on News Talk Tonight, and we are across the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Stick around on your smart speaker, on your website, on your terrestrial radio, on your car phone, on your everything. We'll be here.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight with Mark Toohey on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hey, welcome back to The Rundown. Joining us tonight, Mike Kaycook is co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. And from News Talk 610 CKTV in Niagara is Tom McConnell, host and assistant program director. In a stunt that is the kind of thing Justin Trudeau is famous for, Canada's prime minister went bungee jumping outside Ottawa this weekend, and nobody seems to have noticed. I hadn't even heard about it until producer Ben Harrison pointed it out to me, possibly because he went with his kids, and it wasn't as much of a photo op. It was the company that runs the bungee jump little place that published it, I think. But usually this is the kind of thing that Trudeau would do to distract us from something, Tom McConnell. I was distracted so much I didn't even notice him doing this. Should I have? Is there something that was going on that we didn't see?
I don't think so. I missed it too. So I saw it just before I left, and I watched him get his head dunked into water. But I'm like, oh, okay, all right. It seems odd that it wasn't out there, knowing the modus operandi of all this. Up until this point, I was happy not to talk about it. But now that you've roped me in on it.
Mike Kaycook, am I being too unduly harsh with our prime minister? Because it is the kind of thing, when I first heard about it, I thought, he is legitimately trying to get me to look at something that I'm supposed to look at instead of something else. But maybe this was legitimately just him going out with his kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. But you got to know, right? You're the prime minister. You're under scrutiny 24/7. This is going to eventually get out and get attention, I would think. I mean, would you even risk it? Would you even do this and, take the criticism? Because I see the criticism all over Twitter and social media now. I don't see the big deal. Let him do it. He's having fun with his kids. He's still a human being. I want to know, was he singing Bohemian Rhapsody while he did this? I see a little silhouette of a man bungee jump into the river.
The talk of the town in talk radio in Ontario this morning was a Toronto Star piece about changes that the Ontario government has made to the agreement. Well, I guess they haven't changed the agreement they have with the federal government, but Ontario is the last province to sign on to $10 a day daycare. And part of the agreement is that it comes with a bunch of rules, and they've had a bunch of negotiations with for-profit daycares, which are, I think, 30% of the daycare spaces in Ontario. And the government wants a lot more, and they want the for-profit sector to step up and to build more. But the for-profit daycare centers have said, look, these rules don't work for us. So the Star was taking a hard line that the provincial government agreed to remove some restrictions on, quote, undue profits as well as ineligible expenditures. And I kind of wonder why anybody in the government thinks that they would have a clue what a reasonable profit is, Tom.
Yeah, that is a great question. I find it interesting, though, right? Like the government's like, okay, you can't make it. They could make a profit on $10 a day daycare. Like from what I've been told, I'm like, what's the profit going to be? Like, is there any profit there at $50 a day or $70 a day? You thought, okay, wow, some people could afford that. At $10 a day, how are they making a profit? Well, like, that's the part I'm just like, wow. Well, I know they're getting subsidized, but it's like, that is a tight, you don't have to take the money. You can offer daycare outside of the government subsidies. And I imagine, I thought a lot of private daycare operators would just do that.
Well, and I think these people are leaning to that, but the government wants them in because they want more spaces, Mike Kaycook. But people in government don't seem to understand that profit is how the investors get their money back after putting $1 million up to buy a building and turn it into a daycare and hire a bunch of staff, all in the hopes that people will show up to leave their kids there. And without profit, there's no way to get your money back. And if there's no way to get your money back, there's no way the private sector is going to build any more daycare spaces.
Well, no. I mean, they're going to close. They're not going to open anymore. We're going to see rising population. And then we're going to be like, well, yeah, it's great. We got $10 a day daycare for everybody in Ontario, but we don't have enough spaces now. So now what are we going to do? You know, it's just like, you got to make it profitable for people. You got to get incentive for people to say, okay, let's get into this business. Let's, they got to do something more than that, because why would I going to open a business if I'm not going to make a profit? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because that's how you get your money back if you've invested upfront and taken the risk with your own personal capital.
And I want a lot of money
capital.
Back. Yeah. I don't want a little money back. I want a lot of money back.
So here's two stories of media censorship today. I'm on the opposite sides of both. Maybe that makes me a hypocrite. In the first, a Quebec Solidaire candidate in the today's election in Quebec was basically told, no, you cannot pose for a photo op casting your ballot, because that's been illegal in polling stations in this country for my entire political career. Doesn't everybody know that? And I'm okay with that, because it's supposed to be a secret ballot. On the other hand, when Toronto's airport authority, the pseudo arm's length government agency, came up with what I consider a boneheaded new rule that says all media must ask 24 hours ahead of time for permission to show up and do a story at the airport, I think that's censorship. It's egregious to democracy, and they should be bumped harshly on the head. Tom McConnell, am I a hypocrite?
No, I don't think you are at all. First of all, the vote is, I agree with you on both of these, Mark. And the one about the voting, I'm like, what? Like, what was the photo op? Give me a better, like, was he showing how he voted? Was he at, or was it outside? Hey, I'm
they
here to vote.
They always want to pose with the ballot halfway in the box, right. And that's illegal. But usually the polling official, as was the case here, figures out a way to make everybody happy.
Okay. All right. And it's like, dude, come on. For your gram, give me a break. The airport authority is overstepping their bounds here. And this is one of the things, I don't know, in the United States, can you imagine if this was attempted in the United States? Hello? This is a public venue. You work for us. The privacy laws and the media access in the United States, I know we all get excited about the United States, but when it comes to public access and dollars and what the United, they're way ahead of us. For public places like this, who in their right mind thinks that some airport authority can tell the media you can't come until I get clearance 24 hours in advance is a ridiculous premise to start with.
Airplane crash. We'll have film sometime tomorrow if they let
us. Right.
What is this, the Olympics?
Happens a few hours. Oh my God, something's happening at the Toronto airport. Let's go. Well, we didn't ask for permission. What are they going to every day apply 24 hours ahead of time to permission just in case something happens? That's a ridiculous rule. And I will disagree with both of you that there should be a photo op for the person casting their vote. If they are the candidate that is casting their vote, give them a photo op. I think we know who they're voting for. I think it's an old.
What's it going to do? Why? Why is it out there? What's
it going to
do? Oh, separate. Oh, right. Separate rules for politicians, but not for us. Who's the hypocrite now?
No, they got it. I want to see it. I want to see the actual ballot.
What do you think that's
going to
encourage voting? You think people are going to be like, oh, well, candidate Kate Cook voted. I better get down to my polling center.
Yeah, look how easy that was. I forgot it was even election day. I don't even care about the municipal election happening in
how do you,
later
how do you,
this
if you
month.
Let the candidate do it, how do you say no to the next 15 people who
exactly.
want to post it on their
the
Instagram?
Candidates. They're the candidates.
Again,
we all
special
know
rules
for
politicians and wannabe politicians.
How about we just don't have the candidates vote? It's a waste of time. We know you're voting for yourself. Let's all count one anyway.
But I've seen politicians who in mayoral elections who couldn't vote for themselves because they didn't live. Well, actually, not mayoral elections, but in a federal election, the opposing candidate to the one that I was working for could not vote for himself because he didn't live in the riding.
He shouldn't even be eligible then. If you don't live in your riding, you shouldn't.
Well, what
you
if you have a business address? I have a couple of candidates down here who are running in neighboring communities because of business addresses.
Oh, business addresses.
Business addresses.
Okay. I have a business address.
Well, exactly.
I think it's called a P.O. box.
But that works municipally. Thanks very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your expanded time.
Yeah, we're going three next week or what?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, not if you
all
fight like
Thanksgiving
this.
Monday. It's Kay Cook and McConnell.
Mike Kay Cook is co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. Tom McConnell's host and assistant program director at News Talk 610 CKTB in Niagara. My name is Mark Tuohy. You're listening to News Talk tonight in the iHeartRadio Talk Network. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-855-633-1010. Does every job have to be a career in the public service? Is it reasonable to expect that I'm going to start a job as a janitor and 30 years from now retire as a janitor? janitor at $150,000 a year.